Is it possible for a person to know that he's going to heaven, to be absolutely sure that he's right with God, that he's one of God's children? Now, some people would say today that this is a dangerous teaching, and that really people need to be kept in doubt, they need to be kept in uncertainty, because if a person knows that he's right with God, and if he knows his sins are forgiven, why then he would be just tempted to go out and just live a very careless, immoral life. And so some say what we need to do is keep emphasizing to people, unless you live the right kind of life, you will not make it ultimately. And yet there are scriptures that say we can know. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And the scripture emphasizes the fact, yes, it's possible for us to know that we have eternal life. It's possible for us to know that our sins are forgiven. It's possible to know that we're saved. By grace, you've been saved through faith, it says in Ephesians 2:8. And he's talking there about something that has taken place already. He doesn't say you will be saved ultimately in the end if you live a good enough life. But he says, by grace, you are or have been saved. You were saved. And so he speaks of it as a finished condition into which we've entered, a condition of being saved, of being one of God's children. Now, one of the passages that's often used to teach the opposite viewpoint is Hebrews 6, and I want to read some of these verses here, and we're going to talk about them at this time. Ephesians 6, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of washings, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that comes often upon it, and brings forth herbs suited for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak." Let's look at this passage. First of all, he says, there are some principles, there are some teachings that you have learned, these people to whom he's writing, that are kind of foundational and are kind of basic, they're elemental teachings that are a preparation for the gospel. And he's writing here to Hebrew Christians, these who have known the Old Testament, who have known the system of sacrifices, who have known what it is to constantly be taught in this Old Testament scriptures. And he says the things that you have learned there are foundational. You learned repentance. You learned faith toward God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you have all the these wonderful examples of men and women in the Old Testament who believed God and lived for God. And there's other teaching that you received that is basic. And it's preparation for the coming of the Messiah. But now that he's come, you have the full message. And the danger some of these Hebrew people was, and the danger they were going through at the time was that they were feeling real pressure. There was persecution on the part of some, and they were feeling pressure to go back to Judaism. back to the sacrifices, back to the synagogue, and they were being torn by some of these pressures. Now, what he's saying here is, listen, you cannot go back. If you've heard the gospel, if you've heard that Christ has come and he's the fulfillment, you see, of all these Old Testament passages, then you can't go back to the sacrifices. You can't go back to the Old Testament system. Christ has come. He's died on the cross. He's the one who's the fulfillment of all of these things. And you dare not go back. Now, there's a word of warning here to these people. He says, you've been enlightened. Notice how it speaks of them in verses 4 and 5. It says, those who were once enlightened, or the force of the word there is once for all. This was a completeness of enlightenment. They'd heard the gospel. They heard of Christ's coming. They heard of his death. They heard of his resurrection. They heard that forgiveness of sins could come through him. They had tasted of the heavenly gift. They had were made partakers of the Holy Spirit. They had experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. They were enlightened intellectually. They understood the message. They had heard it. They couldn't say, well, we've never heard that. We didn't know that Jesus had come. They couldn't say, we hadn't heard that he died. They couldn't say, we didn't know that he was raised from the dead. They had heard all of these things. So they were enlightened intellectually. They had tasted. It speaks there, you tasted of the heavenly gift. They had been with Christians who knew and loved the Lord, and they experienced, they tasted the reality of these things. They saw people really coming to know the Lord. Now, some of these people, we have to say, as in any group, were perhaps on the fringe. They were investigating. They were curious. And these are the people now, these who are on the fringe, who are feeling this real pressure to go back. So these are words of warning that, listen, if you have been enlightened, if you've heard the good news, the gospel message, that God loves you and Christ has come and he's died for you, he was buried, he rose again, and God will give you forgiveness through him. If you have heard all this, if you've been enlightened, then you dare not go back. You dare not turn away. And you have tasted of the heavenly gift. You've been in groups, he says, where you've seen the reality of these things. And he says, the Holy Spirit was working there, and you were swept along. You shared in the joy of some of these who had come to know the Lord. You shared in their joy as they spoke of knowing the forgiveness of sins and of the peace and rest they had through the Lord Jesus. And you tasted the good word of God. You heard the word. And you knew the message was true. And you experienced, he says, the powers of the world or the age to come. In other words, you knew the power of God, as you saw it in the lives of these people, changed lives. People that may have been slaves to sin. People that had a problem with alcohol. People who were immoral. People whose lives had been twisted and just almost destroyed by sin. And you saw this message change those lives. And you saw this message completely rejuvenate lives that were just broken and almost destroyed. Now you've experienced all that. And now he says, if you go back, if you fall away, if you turn away, he says it's impossible to renew you again to repentance. You've turned away from the truth. You've had an opportunity. And now if you go back to Judaism, if you go back into that which was just a shadow of the reality of Christ, in effect, you're going to crucify the Son of God afresh because you're going to be rejecting him. You're going to be doing what the scribes and the Pharisees did when Pilate brought Jesus out. And he said, "What then shall I do with Jesus?" And they cried out and they said, "Crucify him. Crucify him." They rejected him. And they said, "We refuse to accept him. We will cling to our system of sacrifices and our system of Judaism. We refuse to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Savior." They rejected him. They crucified him. And Paul says, or rather the writer of Hebrews, we're not sure who he was, he says, if you go back, you stand with those who rejected the Son of God before Pilate. And you too are crucifying him afresh in your own rejection. You put him to an open shame. Very strong words. Now let me suggest that it's possible to get very close to salvation. It's possible to go along with the things of God. It's possible to taste the things of God. And it's possible then to reject and turn away and be lost forever. Remember the 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan? And they were going to spy out the land and bring a report back to the people of Israel. And they came back. They came back carrying fruit from the land. They came back with glowing stories of what a beautiful land it was. They tasted the fruit. They tasted the grapes, tasted figs and other fruits that were growing there. These men tasted these fruits. And they came back, but they told the people, "We can't go in." And they refused to go in. God said, "Not one of you is going to enter that land." Now, they had tasted. They had been very close, but they refused to act in faith and make that land their own. And they were rejected. Now, here he warns about this kind of thing. It's possible for you to be right on the fringe of a group of Christians. It's possible for you to hear the gospel. It's possible for you to hear teaching. It's possible for you to see lives changed. It's possible for you to experience all of these things and know the truth of it and then to draw back. And I want to say I've seen people do this. And come short of saving faith, where you commit yourself to the Lord, where you trust him, where you begin to enter upon that pathway of following him wholeheartedly. Don't draw back. Go all the way. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior and follow him.